Welcome back. And of course, that's the great Alice Soul Train in that wonderful piece she did in Satchitananda. She was born on this day in 1937, one of our most brilliant and complex composers. On the way to this conversation, let me remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ Baltimore's Credit Union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ Baltimore's Credit Union is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com. We're going to look at Lyme disease in this next segment of the Mark Steiner Show. Greg Kirk joins us. He's founder of the Ticked Off Music Festival, pun intended, lead singer-songwriter for the band The Zen Engines, and former publisher of the Philadelphia, Delaware-based publication Big Shout magazine, and has been dealing with chronic Lyme disease for almost a decade. Dr. Catherine Feldman is a Maryland State Public Health veterinarian and chief of the state's zoonotic and vector-borne diseases. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
And the number here is 410-319-8888. Write to us here at Steiner Show. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. talk@steinershow.org. Log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. Dr. Catherine Feldman, let me start with you. And this disease, you know, at first it was so unknown. And this bite by the deer tick that can really mask itself in so many symptoms if you don't see it. I mean, I don't think people realize how pervasive or how devastating it can be.
So Lyme disease is a bacterial infection, and it is transmitted by a tick. And that tick, the stage that's most commonly implicated in transmitting the infection, is really small. And so it is difficult to see, and a lot of folks who get Lyme disease don't know they've been bit. So the trick is to recognize the symptoms, especially if you're someone who enjoys spending time outdoors where ticks live. And I don't want to discourage people from spending time outdoors, but just do it safely. If you should develop a rash within a month of being outdoors in tick habitat, if you're tired, I would suggest you speak to your healthcare provider and let them know about your possible tick exposure.
Because, Greg Kirk, I mean, when you were infected by this tick bite, it took a while for you to even understand what was going on, right?
Yeah, I didn't have any of the classic symptoms. So I never found a tick, never had the bullseye rash, and never associated any of my flu-like symptoms, you know, anything like that. None of it was detected. The odd thing was, too, they occurred about a year or so after I moved to Connecticut, which, you know, the term Lyme comes from a bunch of doctors discovering rheumatoid arthritis symptoms in kids in Lyme, Connecticut. So you'd think I'd be at ground zero for Lyme. But it was the last thing doctors tested me for. So I went through 2 years, a battery of tests, many invasive things like swallowing radioactive pills and, you know, enterological, you know, exams, things like that. Took 2 years, and I finally was diagnosed by a holistic doctor who asked me to chronicle a week's worth of my symptoms. And when I walked in, she looked at my history of symptoms and said, "I can tell you right now, you have Lyme disease." So, you know, the bottom line is the testing is really rough. There's so many nonspecific symptoms that Lyme isn't the first thing that traditional doctors think of. They send you through a testing protocol of, you know, ruling things out like cancer and heart disease first, and then when you come out the other end of that and they don't see anything conclusive, they're kind of like at a loss as to what to do. So
what you're describing here, I think, is really interesting and important, because I think that for people to understand, I mean, I think that a lot of the medical world, Dr. Feldman, doesn't immediately go to diagnosing these symptoms or even testing for Lyme disease, unless you kind of push and ask for it.
Well, one thing we've been working on very hard in the public health community is to raise awareness among the public and the medical community about the risk of Lyme disease here in Maryland and throughout the Northeast. Obviously, our focus is here in Maryland at the State Health Department in Maryland. And so we really do want both the public, so they can be empowered and advocate for themselves, to be aware of those risks, and also to make sure the medical community is aware that Lyme disease is here in the state and should be considered for patients who might have been bitten by a tick.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, this can affect anybody, I think, which is important. I'm sitting here now on Morgan State University's campus in Baltimore, Maryland, and I'm looking out on the campus, which has heavily wooded areas, a river running through it, a large stream running through it. And because this can happen in any wooded area now, that especially deers and other animals that might carry these ticks are ubiquitous. I mean, they're throughout urban and suburban areas, not just rural areas. So, I mean, this is something that not just people kind of go hiking in the woods, Catherine Froman, I think, have to worry about.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, we have evidence that a lot of Lyme disease is acquired around people's homes in their backyards. So you pointed out, you mentioned deer, and that's a great point. Deer are a favorite for the tick. The tick really like hanging out on deer. And so if you have deer in your community, if deer pass through your backyard, it's possible they could have brought some of their friendly ticks with them. And so it's important that if you spend time outside, in areas where ticks could be, to check yourself at the end of each day and get those ticks off of you. Now, ticks don't live everywhere in your yard, so some areas are less likely to have ticks. So areas with where sun can penetrate, like a lawn, a well-maintained lawn where your kids play, ticks really need moisture, and that well-lit lawn is not going to be able to support many ticks. Ticks are found more in the leaf litter, in the brushy edge where the lawn might meet trees. But ticks can be in places where you might not expect them.
So why is this, before we go back to Greg, why is it so prevalent in Maryland?
Well, why it's prevalent in Maryland and the whole Northeast, it's probably a number of factors that contribute. You've mentioned deer already, and we certainly do know that there are plenty of deer throughout Maryland. And so we just happen to be one of the states that has a lot of deer, a lot of ticks that can transmit the infection, a lot of ticks infected with Lyme disease, and we seem to be one of the, I'll say, unfortunate states that is heavily affected.
I mean, I saying here at Morgan State University's campus in the city, in the heart of the city of Northeast Baltimore, not just a few weeks ago, I was looking out of the window in what's the kitchen area here, looking down at the woods, and saw this deer cross the river and go up into the woods. I mean, so what I'm saying is, I mean, they are ubiquitous. They're becoming an urban animal, not just a rural animal.
Exactly, and it's not just the deer either. The white-footed mouse,
right?
You know, the common mouse is another major carrier, and doctors are finding them on birds as well. I mean, basically any warm-blooded creature that hangs out in the leaf litter, like that Dr. Feldman mentioned, is, you know, a prime candidate for being a carrier for ticks. And they're not just in the immediate, you know, mid-Atlantic to New England region that, you know, you commonly think of ticks and Lyme disease. Just last May, we held a Ticked Off Music Fest in Jacksonville, Florida, upon the behest of the Florida Lyme Disease Association, and a woman named Melissa Bell, who's a part of that organization. She contacted me and said, "Can you bring a festival down there?" And I said, "You don't have Lyme disease in Florida." And she said, "Oh, yes, we do. You know, it's and the problem is, it's, talk about it being the last thing most doctors think of, even in the New England and Mid-Atlantic regions, it's not even on the radar of the doctors down there. And the ticks are hiding in the beach grass down there. And it's rampant. It's really, you know, it's the fastest spreading infectious disease outside of AIDS right now.
Hmm. Well, there are truly geographic components to where Lyme disease is. So from Maryland northward, there is a much higher incidence of Lyme disease than probably anywhere else in the U.S. other than the upper Midwest, which also is severely affected. There's a lot of work that's going on into understanding the ecology of the disease, because it's very, very complicated. There are so many factors that go into it. The mouse was mentioned, the deer. There's climatic considerations. There's what kind of land cover, forest versus grasses. All kinds of things go into it. So sometimes even when the infection is detected in ticks, people aren't getting sick. Maybe those ticks don't bite people as much as they do elsewhere. So it's very, very complicated and fascinating in one sense, but complicated for sure.
So go ahead, Greg.
You know, to make things even more complicated, ticks tend to jump on multiple hosts throughout their lifetime, and they pick up and carry the various pathogens. So that's bacteria, viruses, and even parasites. But by the time it lands on a human, you could be getting a whole cocktail of various things. And right now, you know, many of our tests are focusing on Borrelia, which is a bacteria that is named, you know, Lyme disease. But there's so many other, in my case, I was treated for Lyme and started feeling better for a while. And then suddenly I had a plateau, and doctors tested me again and found out that I had two other what they call co-infections. So it was other bacteria that wasn't affected by the antibiotic that was meant to attack Borrelia. So talk about complicated. The testing, the symptoms, and even the range of pathogens is extremely complex.
Well, in the time we have left here, one quick question came in, but I do have we have like 5 minutes left in this segment. I want to be able to get these couple of points out for people to understand. And somebody is just talking about Borrelia. Somebody just wrote in, Dr. Feldman, about a study suggesting that deer tick bites may not be the only risk factor when it comes to Lyme disease transmission, that it could be sexually transmitted, that this disease looks a lot like syphilis. What is that about?
So I'm not aware of any evidence that demonstrates transmission other than through a tick bite.
Okay.
So Lyme disease is transmitted by a tick bite.
All right, I want to be clear. So the other thing is, you do see this little, for the most part, see this small ring on your body with a red ring with a dot in the middle that usually shows up. But if you don't have, if you can't see it on yourself, and you don't have somebody you love very close who can look at your body and see if you have one when the day is out from being outside, what do you look out for?
Right. So first, when you've spent the day out, you need to really look for the tick. And so if you can get that tick off of you in a timely fashion, then that's going to go a long way to preventing the transmission of Lyme disease. Within the next month, a month after the tick bite is when you might start seeing the rash itself. And the rash affects 70 to 80% of folks with Lyme disease. That unfortunately means that there's 20 to 30% of folks who are not going to have this telltale rash. The rash also doesn't itch particularly, so if it should be on your back and you don't have a loved one to notice it, you might miss the rash even if you develop it. But what you're looking for with the rash is something that gradually expands and gets larger, notably larger. It's not just the little red area where the tick bites you. You can anticipate that you're going to get some sort of irritation from just the tick bite itself. And it's more than that. It gradually expands and can become quite large, in fact, quite dramatic. If you see that, that's great because you can go in, tell your doctor, and it's enough to make a diagnosis. You don't need a test. You can make a diagnosis just based on the fact you have this gradually expanding rash that often looks like a bullseye. Not always, but often.
So, but I think that from your experience, Greg Kirk, it's important now to add here that if you have these certain flu-like symptoms that can't be diagnosed correctly, you really should push your physician test for Lyme disease.
You've got to be an advocate for your own health. Absolutely. You've got to push forward and persevere. I've heard too many cases of people actually walking in with a tick that bit them, with a rash, especially in the Florida area, and doctors saying, "We don't have Lyme disease down here, so I'm not going to treat you." And, and that can be almost a death sentence to these people. So, yeah, you've really got to advocate for yourself on this.
Because it can be a crippling disease for the rest of your life in some cases.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I'm seeing a lot of those cases, too, of people coming out to these ticked-off music fests in wheelchairs. It's sad to see. And it's all because of this crazy diagnosis phase that it doesn't get picked up.
So this ticked-off music festival, very quickly, last two questions here in the last couple of minutes. This is to raise money for research?
Basically, it's a traveling festival. So we held the first one in Wilmington, Delaware. They have a high incidence of tick bites.
Right.
Incidence there. The second one was in Jacksonville. Our next one is tomorrow in Annapolis at the Lowe's Hotel Powerhouse. Doors open at 6:30. And so we raise awareness, obviously, but we raise funds depending upon the area. So we raise funds for a researcher, Dr. Kerry Clark, in Jacksonville. For the Annapolis Festival, we're going to be raising funds for the National Capital Lyme Disease Association.
So, and Dr. Feldman, where can people go in terms of finding out more information from on the web, on the state?
Right. If you visit our website, that is DHMH, that's as in the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, .maryland.gov, and search on Lyme disease. You can get all kinds of information, including how to prevent Lyme disease and case counts for the last few years for Lyme disease in Maryland.
And we'll put all those things on our website and remind you the Ticked Off Music Festival will take place tomorrow, Thursday, August 28th, in Annapolis at the Lowe's Hotel Powerhouse at 126 West Street, starting at 6:30 p.m. More information can be found at Ticked offmusicfest.com. And Dr. Catherine Feldman, Maryland State Public Health Veterinarian and Chief of the State Center for Zoonotic and Vector-Borne Diseases, thank you for joining us today.
Been a pleasure.
Been a pleasure.
Right.
And Greg Kirk.
I'd like to invite you both out to the fest tomorrow if you can make it. Thanks.
All right. So that sounds good. Greg Kirk, founder of the Ticked Off Music Fest. Thank you so much as well.
Thank you.
Folks, we're going to take a very brief break come right back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about demonstrations taking place here on campus about Ferguson and also about the event taking place tonight at Bus Boys and Poets about Ferguson. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Understand we be Waikiki, shipping DP to the TV, look greedy, little kids see.